I want you to be turning with me to Luke's Gospel, the 22nd chapter this morning. We're going to bring our series on the bread is ready to a conclusion this morning by looking one more time where the Lord handled bread, held it in his hand, blessed it, break it, and passed it out. I'm going to read this morning about the last Passover and the first Lord's Supper. Here is the last Passover our Lord will participate in, and it's the first Lord's Supper that is ordained. Hear the word of the Lord this morning in Luke 20, 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said. And that's how it always is. When you go where he says go, when you do what he says do, you will find that it will always be as he had said. And they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And the Lord will honor his holy, holy word this morning. I want to meditate this morning on broken bread. The setting here is being, of course, the last week of our Lord's life. It's just hours before the betrayal, hours before the crucifixion of our Lord. And as Warren Wiersbe says, there are no accidents here, only appointments. And that's so in our life, yet still this day. And it's no accident how all of this has been arranged. It was the law that all males had to travel to Jerusalem, the holy city, to observe the Passover, one of the feasts they had to be there for. That's no accident that all of the nation, in essence, was gathered together there. It was fitting because that night, he who is the Lamb of God would die and would take away the sin of his people. He's about to deliver them from sin's bondage. So as we meditate upon this holy, holy scene this morning, I want to have you note with me several things. First of all, I want you to note with me the purpose. The Passover meal that we've read about, there's a purpose behind it. It's not just another meal. It was instituted for them to remember and to commemorate their being delivered out of Egypt, set free from Pharaoh and the taskmaster's bondage. That last night they spent in Egypt, those Hebrews, those Jews there, they gathered together behind a door that had the blood of the Lamb applied, and they're going to feast on the Lamb, and they're going to partake of bread. Unleavened bread, broken bread there. And through that night and through all that takes place there, God is going to deliver them. Well, on this night, our Lord's going to institute a new meal. On this night, our Lord is going to institute what we call the Lord's Supper. And there's a commemoration behind the Passover. And here it is on the table in front of us this morning. This do in remembrance of me. As there was a purpose of the Passover, there's a purpose of what we'll do tonight in the service. It's to remember what God has done. In fact, later on in the book of Deuteronomy, God's going to refer to that unleavened bread as the bread of affliction, the bread of affliction. But here in Luke 22, on this last night, in essence, of our Lord's ministry here on earth, he's going to become afflicted. He's going to suffer. He's going to bleed. He's going to be broken in a spiritual sense so that you and I might take of the bread of atonement, that you and I might take of the bread of forgiveness and be delivered from our sins. Oh my, the purpose of what's taking place in Luke 22 is to remember. But God says, I don't want you just to remember. I want you to realize what I'm about to do for you. So there's a purpose in this passage. But I quickly want you to note with me, there's purity. There's purity in this passage. We've read of the unleavened bread. Now it's true that that first Passover back there, those many, many years ago in Egypt, they had to prepare to leave and to leave with haste. God says, you gird up your loins. God says, you put your shoes on. God says you keep your staff in your hand. And yes, it's true that they were going to leave in a hurry. Yes, it's true, bread would not have time to rise. But that's not the purpose. And that's not the picture in the unleavened bread. There's purity in unleavened bread. God is going to do a holy thing. Holy God is going to do a holy thing that night. Therefore, he cannot take an unholy thing and use it to commemorate it. So God says you're to partake of unleavened bread. Leaven throughout the word of God pictures evil. It pictures sin. It pictures pride there, and it is to be removed. The bread that they take is to be without leaven. Leaven we would call it maybe yeast there, and leaven or yeast there, as there's that chemical reaction in those enzymes, as it's fermenting, it causes that bread to rise, and just a little bit of leaven. Leavens the whole lump. And as I said, it's pictured throughout the word of God as evil, as sin. And on this night in Egypt, when they celebrate the Passover, they're to do it in purity. And on this night, when you and I come to the Lord's table, we're to examine ourselves that our hearts be clean and that our hearts be pure. We touched on it last Sunday night there in Colossians 3. There's some things you and I must put out of our lives. The unleavened bread pictures purity. Now, we're preaching on the bread this morning, but I'd remind you that lamb was pure, that lamb was spotless, that lamb was without blemish as well. But the unleavened bread was about purity. In fact, the Feast of Unleavened Bread followed the Passover, and for seven days, they would only eat unleavened bread. If a man ate leavened bread in those 7 days, he was to be cut off from the nation of Israel. And yearly they would celebrate the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And when the time to celebrate the Passover drew nigh, it's not just that they were to prepare bread that was unleavened. They were to get leaven out of the house. They were to clean the house. They were to be clean. They were to be pure. Their house was to be pure. They were to eat pure, unleavened bread. It's all about purity. Why? Because it's going to picture the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, oh my. There's purity that you need to see in this passage this morning. And what's amazing is this. On this night, while the religious leaders, while the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, while they're cleaning all the leaven out of their homes, their hearts were filled with the leaven of iniquity as they were plotting to kill our Lord and Savior. Oh my, there's purity about this bread. But what I really want to spend some time on this morning is the preparation attached to this bread. There's preparation called for in this passage. Of course, it's called for in several things. In Matthew 3, the path of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. In Revelation 12, there's a place that is prepared. In Revelation chapter 21, there's a people, there's a bride that has prepared herself as for her husband. But here in Luke 22, it's not just a place, it's bread that is to be prepared. Now this first Passover is the last one we read of legitimately being celebrated here in the Gospels, of course, but in order to celebrate it, our Lord says you need to prepare. That's why I mentioned a moment ago. You need to prepare before you come to the table tonight. It calls for preparation. And as the lamb was examined, and as the lamb, certified that lamb was pure, examined to be pure. The bread had to be pure. No leaven in it whatsoever. Now to bake unleavened bread, it takes some care. It takes some caution. You've got to use care to use the purest and finest of flour. And make sure that no leaven gets added to the bread. And then in Passover, there are bitter herbs that Peter and John had together. And there's the lamb Peter and John have to get. And there's the unleavened bread somebody's got to bake. And there's the house, the place that's got to be secured and has to be prepared. There's a lot of details that go into preparation is what I'm trying to get at right here. Preparation involves details. You're going to have house guests over. You're going to have folks. You're going to prepare. We did some things at the house yesterday for the young people to come tonight. Preparation involves details. Somebody's got to give attention to the details. And oh my, what again is so amazing
That while Christ is preparing his disciples for his suffering on the cross, and why Christ commands Peter and John to prepare the place for them, the scribes and the Pharisees are preparing as well. They're plotting. They're preparing a place that they might trap the Lord. They're preparing a way to kill the Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees are giving attention to details in this chapter because they're asking this question, where can we get him? Where there's not a crowd. That's referred to back there in verse 2. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. They're saying, where can we get him when he's alone? Where can we find him where there's not a crowd? We don't want to stir up the people. Preparation involves some details. Well, it's not just that the scribes and the Pharisees were saying where. When Jesus says, prepare ye, go and prepare us the Passover in verse 8 that we might eat. Look what the disciples say in verse 9. Where? Details are a part of preparation. Well, Jesus is in the details. I know we sometimes say, well, the devil's in the details. No, don't say that. That's dumb. It's God that's in the details. And it's God who is in these details. Because God is in control of every detail of his life and his death and this Passover and the cross. In fact, God is in charge of every detail, period. He's sovereign God. As Dr. R.C. Sproul said, there are no maverick molecules out there doing their own thing. Jesus knew every detail and was in control of every detail. So how do you know that, preacher? They say, well, where? Where will we, where do you want us to prepare? He says, well, here's what you do. You go into the city. Here it is in verse 10. He's going to tell them where. He's going to tell them how. You go into the city, and there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. You follow him into the house where he goes, wherever he goes, you follow him. And when you get there, then you ask the goodman of the house, the owner of the house, the master saith unto thee, where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? What's up with this? God is revealing his preparation. But what's up? What's up in verse 10 with this man toting a jug of water? What's up with that? Women, I hate to have to tell you this, but it was just the custom and the order of that day that it's the women that fetched the water. It's the women that carried the water. It's the women that went to the well. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well there? It's the women that did that. So it wouldn't be unusual for them to go down the street and to see some women carrying a jug of water. But he says, you go and you're going to meet a man. A man carrying a jug. A man that has humbled himself, willing to do the work of a woman. And Jesus said, you follow that man, and wherever that man goes, you follow him to that house. And when you get there, you say, don't mention my name. No, don't bring my name up. You just say, master, teacher, and I mean thousands of teachers in Jerusalem. You just say to that fella, the master wants a guest room that he can eat the Passover over it with, and he'll show you the very place. You know how come it all happened as he said it was? God is in the details. God is in the details. His sovereignty. I mean, this man gets up and says, well, honey, Honey, I'll go get some water. I'll go get some water. You think that was by accident? Not on your life. Oh, my. You really want to see sovereignty? They say, where's the guest chamber? Where's the guest chamber at? Guess what? It's the same word for inn. It's the exact same word for inn. You remembered his birth there. They found no room in the inn for him. But on this last night, there's an inn. There's a guest chamber that has been prepared for him. Oh my. There's preparation involved in this bread. In this bread, there's preparation that is involved. But there's something else involved here. See, Judas, I mean, back up here in verse 2, the religious crowd are plotting, and in verse 3, Satan is possessing. And Jesus said, you go over to Mr. So-and-so's house, at 3rd Street over, at last house on the right. Judas would have been able to tell the soldiers where to be waiting. Satan. I got news for you this morning. Satan doesn't know everything. And he'd know a whole lot less if a lot of people would keep their mouths shut in prayer or in gossip. Oh, the Lord on purpose says, you go find that fellow with the jug of water and you find him. And it's clear from the text, Peter and John do not come back. It's not until Jesus takes the rest of them that they know where they're going to eat this meal. So what's your point, preacher? God was preparing every last bit of it down to the very minute details. All of it, listen, all of it according to the predetermined, pre-planned plan of God. That's what Peter declares later on. He says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Nobody, not Judas, not the scribes, not the Pharisees, not Satan, nobody, not you, not me, no one can thwart the prepared plan of God. And you see, there's a lot to take place in these next few hours. He's going to transform the Passover into the Lord's Supper. He's going to reveal the betrayer. He's going to get up and wash their disciples' feet so you and I would have an example of how we're to serve one another. And everything you read in John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, and that tremendous prayer in John 17 that he prays and they hear, you know when all that takes place? That all takes place here at this last meal. And as they walk to Gethsemane, the garden, I'm going to tell you, everything was operating on time because everything had been prepared. There is preparation involved in the providing of this bread. I remind you, he had a body prepared for him. He came in the body that was prepared for him. Oh my. And while the next day, in the middle of the day, while lambs all over Jerusalem are being slain by priests, while Passover lambs are being slain by priests there on Calvary, the Lamb of God was being slain by the Father at the exact moment, while God is in the details, he's preparing all this taking place. That's why Isaiah said thousands of years before, he's borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. We did esteem him smitten, stricken, and smitten of God and afflicted. Was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. No wonder Paul says, he, Christ, is our Passover. Why? Because everything about his body and everything about his suffering and everything about the cross was prepared by God himself. You know, we often, We often are unprepared for unexpected things. But the truth is, a lot of times, even when we expect something, we really aren't prepared as we ought to be. But I want to tell you, when it comes to this night, and when it comes to this holy, holy bread, everything about this bread is prepared. Oh my. And I want you to know, he gives just the exact same amount of attention to your heart and your life and my heart and my life. He knows every detail of every moment that you and I face. Oh my this morning. But right quick, let me say something about the parting. The parting. It says here, and he took bread, that prepared bread, that prepared bread. He took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He parted it. Now the word for break here, it's not the word where you take something and you break it into many, many, many pieces. It's the exact same word used with the 5 loaves and then the 7 loaves as the Lord broke them, our Lord parted them, and our Lord handed them out. They're on the mountain with those multitudes, the 5,000 men, 4,000 others there. He didn't take bread and he didn't break that bread into thousands of pieces. And he doesn't take this bread this night and break it into 12 separate pieces. No. There's a parting. There's a breaking of the bread in the sense that it is separate. The word is only used of bread in the Word of God. And by the way, here's another detail, because I don't want you to get the wrong picture from the word break. Here's another detail. The law said that Passover lamb, not a bone was to be broken. Not a bone was to be broken. And what does the psalmist say? The psalmist says there, he keepeth all his bones and not one of them is broken. And I would remind you, Christ would be crucified. He would not be broken into thousands of pieces. And remember when they came to break the legs, they found that Christ was already dead. Why? He determined the hour. He determined the moment. He prepared for every bit of it. Amen. So when we read this word break, I want you to think of parting, or think of separating, think of tearing into pieces, because that's what fits. Because they're going to take our Lord and they're going to so scourge him, and his body is going to be so buffeted and so torn. And there's not anything wrong with using the word broken in a symbolic way. His body is going to be so ravaged and torn that his own mother is not even sure if that's him or not. And that crown of thorns is going to pierce his flesh, and those nails are going to tear and pierce his hands and pierce his feet. Oh my, there's a parting of this bread, because if the bread's not parted, nobody gets to get a part of it. But because the bread is parted, those that will eat can eat. This bread pictures his body. He tells us so. This is my body. This is my body. It's a picture. Now the bread that night stayed bread. And the night the bread stays bread. And the juice stays juice. And that night the bread stayed bread. The Roman Catholic Church is a heretic church. They teach blasphemy. They teach that night that bread literally became his flesh. That juice, that wine literally became his blood. And they say in order to get to heaven, you got to partake of the mass again and again and again. What blasphemy, that the cross of Christ was not enough. Oh my, he died once and for all to redeem. The bread is bread, and it stays bread. But it pictures his body. It pictures his body given for you. Given for you. And I read it a moment ago. Listen to what that, listen to the parting of the body. Listen to the parting of the bread. Bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now there's nothing scriptural I can offer you for this, but literal, physical, Jewish, unleavened bread falls right into the picture of Isaiah 53. The Jewish people that made this piece of bread, they don't know the Lord. They don't see it. They don't see it. But I want you to know, I've made unleavened bread myself. You've got to pierce it, otherwise it'll burn. And then when you go to baking it, it looks a little brown, as if though it was bruised. And I think maybe even toward the back you can see, I see stripes. Now this is just a piece of bread. But I will tell you, the day came, the true bread, heaven's bread, sent down from heaven on my, he was bruised, he was beaten on my, he was scourged, he was pierced, and he was parted that you and I might partake of the bread. Oh my. And he took that bread that night and he parted it. I close with this though, the partaking. He took the bread and he broke it, but he gave it to them. But that's not all. They took, he broke, he gave, but they took. He says in Matthew 26, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And again and again and again, of a last month and a half, I've said he's the true bread. He's heaven's bread. He's the abundant bread. He's wonder bread. He's sufficient bread. He's strengthening bread. He's the shared bread. But you got to eat. You got to eat. You got to eat. Or he who is bread of life will not bless or benefit you. This night in Egypt, anybody that said, I ain't a trusting that blood, and anybody said, I ain't about to eat that bread, oh my, they died in Egypt. The only way to escape judgment that night in Egypt was to be covered by the blood and to partake of the bread. And I want to tell you this day, the only way you'll escape hell, is, oh my, if you're washed and cleansed in the blood, oh my, and partake of the bread that has been given for you, given for you, broken for you. You won't be saved this morning. Take and eat. You say, you don't know. I don't have to know about you. I just have to know about him. And he says, take and eat. And you want to know why I know you can this morning? Because the bread is ready. The bread has been prepared. And one more time this morning, the bread has been passed out. The gospel has been shared. If you will but take and eat this morning, you can have life and life eternal. Oh my, yes, he's true bread, heaven's bread, and all those other adjectives that we've tried to magnify. But you've got to take and you've got to eat. You've got to believe, you've got to receive, you've got to trust, you've got to obey. He is broken bread for you. But ye must eat. So the bread, the broken bread is in you. And mama, daddy can't do it. Grandma and grandpa can't do it. And the preacher can't do it. But a prepared meal has been prepared. All the songs this morning have pointed to him. A prepared table has been spread. Take and eat, take and eat, take and eat, take and eat. Why? Because the bread is ready. What then are you waiting on? We're standing. I'm going to pray, Brother Brian. Let's sing that bread song one last time. Oh, Father. Oh, Holy Ghost. What sacred, sacred truths I've tried to handle. Lord, they're beyond me. Lord, you're beyond me. What you've done is beyond our comprehension. And Lord, there's some young people and there's some adults on the sound of my voice. Oh, they've been at the table before, but they've never partaken. They've seen others eat, but they've never eaten. Oh God, they don't have to stay hungry. Lord, there's reason to be hungry, but nobody's got to stay that way because the bread is ready, prepared for us. Oh God, help us this day to see you. Get a hold of what you've done. Lord, you've taken care of every detail. Nobody's in this service by chance. Nobody's listening to my radio by chance. This is the day that you prepared for them. May they take, may they eat you, the broken bread. In your holy name we pray, amen and amen. As Brother Brian leads us, you mind the Lord.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred
day. Good day to get saved.
I seek thee, Lord.
My good service to get prepared yourself.
For the old living word. Break thou the bread of life, O Lord, to me. That hid within thy heart, thy word may be. Mold thou each inward thought from self set free, and let my steps be all controlled by thee. Open thy word of truth that I may see.
Listen.
Thy message written clear and plain for me. Then in sweet fellowship walking with thee, thine image on my life engraved will be.
Could I impress upon you how important it is to partake of the bread and partake of him? Because to remind you, those two on the road to Emmaus, they heard him preach. They heard Jesus start with Moses, and Jesus himself preached. And they were still blinded, and they still could not see. But they go into the house, and he sat down. And he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave it to them. Which means he gave it and they took it. The next verse says, and their eyes were open. If you ever are saved, you'll partake of him. And even though you have been saved, if you're going to see as you ought to see and need to see, you must partake of him. Oh my. Thank God for the broken bread. Sing another verse. You may need to get prepared.
Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall. I shall find my peace, my all in all.
Just sing.
Oh, send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me.
I promise you, no other meal you'll partake of today is as important as this meal.
My eyes and
no other bread you'll have in your hands this day. Is more precious than the bread of life. He's passing by. He's extending you an opportunity to partake.
And in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the bread beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word. And in thy book revealed, I see the Lord.
You ladies know what it's like to fix a big meal, to prepare a meal, maybe the favorite meal for somebody. And they sit down and maybe eat about two. Well, I'm just not hungry. It doesn't matter whether they filled up on junk food or sick. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't make you feel too good, does it? Not to bring our Lord down to our level. But Sunday after Sunday, sometimes it's in Sunday school, sometimes it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe it's a Wednesday night. Maybe it's a devotion. For you a certain day. He's prepared something for you. Oh, well, I'll eat later. Wonder how that makes him feel. He prepares with you and me in mind.